Welcome to Tee Talk, where athletes share their stories. Join us as we explore the profound connections between sports, community, and the human experience.
Welcome to Tee Talk. Today we'll have our special guest is women's basketball player, Miss Terry Johnson, who played on the Tulane women's team in 1978. Yes. So hi, Terry. Welcome to Tee Talk.
Hi, thank you. Glad to be here.
Great. So Terry, what was some of the things that came into play for you choosing to actually come to Tulane University?
I played basketball in Long Beach, Mississippi, but I came to New Orleans to play basketball for Charlie Domino. And so I played for 2 years and we practiced at Tulane. And so I got comfortable with the coaches. I would see the coaches there and the campus. And for me, it was a big comfort zone thing.
Okay, so back in Long Beach, was it a small town? Was it a
We were kind of a small town. Our basketball program was mediocre. You know, I played, my sisters were on the team. I would say most of my basketball was skills that I learned at camps during the summer and then playing for Coach Domino.
So how did Coach Domino find you? How did he find Terry Johnson in Mississippi?
You know, I think he had a tryout, and I went to the tryout and made it. Okay. And we had a really, I mean, our team won nationals. Kim Mulkey was on the team.
Okay.
And it was, you know, I was glad to be on the team. And but I went back and forth for 2 years. Every weekend, we'd go on Fridays and come home on Sundays. And every weekend, we'd stay and just practice basketball. So you had to love it.
Exactly.
But it did help.
So when you were in Long Beach, what type of student were you? What type of school was it? Were there many schools in Long Beach? Was that the only high school?
It was the only high school. Okay. It was a city school, but it was smaller. And our basketball program was small. Of course, everything was just kind of getting started. We had some powerhouse programs around us, but you know, we never beat them. It was academically, I was all A's. You know, I loved school. I loved athletics. I loved everything about the school. Played as many sports as I could play.
Okay. What other sports did you play?
I played volleyball, softball, was on the track team, and basketball.
Okay. What type of awards did you receive playing sports in high school?
You know, a lot of my basketball awards were defensive player awards. Of course, I was the team captain and, you know, stuff like that. But softball, just kind of rec league softball, track, I threw the baseball. That's, okay. We used to do that, not the shot put. I threw the baseball. and one state, I set a record in that. But, but you know, in basketball, I made the all-star team my senior year, the state all-stars. And I think things started turning around with that. But I won most valuable defensive player at the all-star game.
Awesome.
But I think a lot of my offers and stuff came through the various camps that I attended.
So not, what other offers did you get besides Tulane?
Mississippi State, not LSU, Mississippi State, Auburn, Alabama, were probably some of the bigger schools. In fact, one of the coaches that I always, Ole Miss offered, he was a local coach that went to Ole Miss, but he offered after I'd already signed. But one of the coaches that I used to go to a lot moved to Alabama. And after I signed with Tulane and graduated, he talked me into coming to Alabama. Wow. And I started school at Alabama.
Really?
For 5 days. And then I called my dad. My coaches called, "What are you doing?" And then I called my dad, said, "Dad, come get me. I'm going back to Tulane." And I'll never look back.
Okay, so let me hear that story again. So you had signed your letter of intent to come to Tulane,
mm-hmm.
but your coaches talked you into going to Mississippi. Who talked
The Alabama, the coach that was the head coach at Alabama, Okay. He wasn't the head coach when I signed. He was just a coach that I'd go to his camp a lot.
Gotcha.
And once he got the job, he came in and successfully talked me into switching for 5 days.
So what happened in those 5 days that made you decide to change your mind? Was it your other coaches calling you? Or did you get there and you were like, this is really not for me?
All the above. I got there and just huge campus, not close enough to home. My coaches called me, and I think that was the final straw. They called me, and I'm sorry, I'm coming back. So, you know, and packed up and headed right back to New Orleans.
So when you came to New Orleans and to actually be on campus, so you went through that situation.
Yeah.
Then you came on campus. So what was it like the first time you drove up to be a part of the university as a student athlete?
I was glad to be back. I was comfortable there. I know it was just an hour to go back home. My parents were going to get to come see the games. It was where I should have been the whole time. So I was really glad to be back.
Awesome. So then you get on campus. What were some of the first things you did, let's say that first week? Did you get more acclimated to your classes? Did you get acclimated to athletics? What was going on that first week?
You know, for me, it was a lot of different things because I came from a small, you know, small school. I had three sisters. You know, we were a very close family. So it was getting on campus and getting in the dorm and getting to know my roommate. She was a volleyball player. And the coaches guide, you know, they helped guide me through setting up my schedule and getting my textbooks. And it's such a huge transition going from high school to college because, I mean, you've got to do everything from the room to the clock to the time management to this. Everything has to be, it's such an adjustment for you.
Right, right. And at that time, which dorm did you start in?
What's the tall one on the corner? On Ferret.
On Ferret, was that Shaw? It's,
no, not on Ferret. On
JL.
Yeah. It's the tall one at the corner of.
Yeah. JL. Okay.
That was a female freshman dorm. It seemed like.
All girls dorm. Yeah, that was JL.
Yeah, and it's probably a good thing, you know. At first. Of course, I was used to the dorms from camps as far as the community bathrooms and all that stuff. But that situation, it lets you meet a lot of people. So I think that kind of dorm's a good idea.
Of course. So when you came to school, it wasn't like, you know, the whole basketball team was together. You were actually rooming with a volleyball player.
I roomed with a volleyball player. Of course, I played volleyball for 2 years.
So at Tulane, you played volleyball as well?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. What was that like? So volleyball season is first. So what did you do when you first got on campus?
First thing we did was volleyball. You know, I had to go to volleyball practice. And then after volleyball practice, it seemed like then you had to go to basketball practice. So you were kind of doubling up two a day.
So when you first arrived on campus as a freshman, you
yes.
were playing volleyball, but you were yes. still required to go to basketball practices.
Oh, well. Yes. And you know what? It was funny because back when I first started, the two coaches that I really, really like, Coach Metcalf and Coach Wilmot, they coached both.
Okay.
Coach Metcalf was a volleyball coach, and Coach Womack was her assistant. And Coach Womack was the basketball coach, and Metcalf was her assistant.
That's awesome. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
They just shared up duties.
What was that relationship between those two like? I mean, they were really close. They're sharing players. How did they communicate with you guys?
Very, very well. They were awesome. In fact, for me, they were probably my swinging factor going to Tulane because I just respected and I thought the world of them as both people, and I knew that I could play for them. You know, because when you're a freshman, you have this fear of what am I going into? And I didn't have that with them. I was totally comfortable with them.
So when you walked into, let's start with volleyball, you walk into volleyball, you see the team. What were your expectations as a freshman?
I I didn't understand why I was on the team. But, you know, I was a front row blocker. You know, I never served. I never did the spikes. I would hit the back walls.
But so how tall are you, Terry? How tall were you at the time?
5'11".
Okay. Nice.
So, but my high school volleyball program, Mississippi volleyball to me is just not as advanced as Louisiana. So we were just not up to that. I had to learn to play volleyball at college. I guess being an athlete, I learned.
I think just from experience being a coach and a player, I feel like it depends on the coach. So every now and then you can get a coach that really knows, you know, has studied the game and really knows what's going on. And if you get that kind of coach in high school, then when you get to college, you're going to be much better prepared.
That's right.
However, if you don't have a coach that teaches the fundamentals, then it's just going to take a little longer.
Yeah.
To go through that process.
Exactly.
So it's not, maybe it's a lot Louisiana versus Mississippi, but there are some really good programs in Louisiana, but there are some not so good programs as well.
Yeah, I guess that's true everywhere.
Yeah, so it's kind of a mix. It's kind of a
I think Mississippi's getting better. We're getting good coaches, and our volleyball is getting better. It's just taken a while for that sport to catch on, but it has caught on now.
You know, football is just so major out there. Everything else kind of gets left to the wayside a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, football's your money-making sport.
Exactly.
Yes, yeah.
So, you do a little volleyball, and then, so once the season is over, do you fall into basketball? How did that work?
Well, yeah, once volleyball was over, you know, all we did is basketball. And volleyball, the girls were awesome, the team was awesome, it was always a family atmosphere. Then we moved into basketball, and we started competing, started winning, and we started seeing success. So then we bought into the program, and we couldn't stay out of the gym.
Okay. So when you get to basketball, you see the team. What becomes your expectations as a freshman coming in when you saw the basketball team? How did you feel like you fit in?
I did feel like I fit in. I knew I could compete. I knew that I had a lot to learn, the expectations of what they wanted me to do as a player. But the team, everybody was just so loving and so welcome. And maybe being the new kids on the block, I think we had 5 players signed. And we immediately made an impact, and things were good. Everything was good. The players welcomed us with open arms.
So who were the other freshmen on the team with you?
Well, I had Sharon Hill, Sherry Fuqua. I know OJ was on the team, and Daryl Kempsey came in a little bit later. I don't remember. There were 2 more with us, but I don't remember because they really didn't last that long.
So that sounded like a real fun team. Tell me a little bit about the team, all the players you just named. Tell me a little about it.
Well, you know, OJ and I played with Dominoes together.
Okay.
So we had played together there. Sharon was just... she was wonderful. She was the sweetest thing, competed. You know, we all had our special gifts. And I think that the players that were there before, the 5 of us had a little bit more experience playing-wise, so we were able to step in and compete right away. I think we started making an impact.
So what type of things do you remember from that time game-wise? Like, did you feel like you were just, were there any rivalries developing? What was happening?
Of course, we always had a rivalry with UNO for some reason, I guess because they were just right next door.
Cross-town rivals.
Exactly. And, you know, my younger sister signed with UNO. So, okay. But you know, we played LSU a couple times, and we can hang for a half. Right. And then their numbers just totally, you know, wiped us out. And then,
so how many people were on the team your freshman year? How many people do you remember?
You know, we might have had 10.
Okay.
It was
and then five of you guys were freshmen? It was
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about that a little bit. So obviously we have Title IX going on.
Right.
Did you understand the impact of Title IX at that time? And when we say Title IX, we're talking about
quality
and being given fair amount of scholarships compared to guys in the university. So did that had just come about in maybe the early 70s? It was just maybe 1974. So what did you feel was the impact?
You know,
did you feel the impact?
I don't think at first, I don't think as a high school player you did, because you know how you just kind of go about.
You didn't realize that because of Title IX, that's why you were offered a scholarship.
No, I don't think high school players knew that.
Okay.
I think it takes us getting older to appreciate the impact that happened and how it's paved the way for us. But I think when you're in high school, you just go about your happy little way and you're glad to be playing.
Okay, so when you come on campus, what were things like compared to the men's basketball team? So, of course, there was a men's basketball team, and now there's a women's basketball team. What was the comparison? I know you both played in Fogelman Arena.
We did.
So what were the shared facilities like?
You know, I don't think I noticed a difference.
Okay.
You know, I really don't. I feel like, and maybe it's just because I was naive, I don't know, but I didn't have a grudge or notice any difference at all. I felt like we had equal footing.
Did you talk to the men's basketball players? Did y'all have relationships with them? Did y'all, because I know there was only one year when I played when the men's team was there. And when they were there, we were all there together over the holidays. So we spent a lot of time together working out. What was it like with you guys?
It was like, you know, back when I played, we did not lift weights a lot. In fact, I don't know if we lifted weights at all. You know, we had separate facilities. The teams didn't stay together. Everybody was spread out all over campus. And if the guys were all staying together, I didn't know it. You know, so I never saw that. I don't think I ever noticed a difference.
So over the holidays, so during Christmas holidays, where did the team stay during Christmas holidays?
We went home.
Y'all went home. So no games over the holidays?
We might have played a little bit, like a week or two, and we just stayed in our dorm and we ate at the Commons. And I know we'd see the basketball players in the Commons.
Okay.
But we didn't play through Christmas holidays like they do now.
Okay. So you guys did eat together. You did. So was there an athletic space or just everybody was in Brook?
Everybody was in, but we called it the Commons. But yeah, everybody was in the cafeteria.
Gotcha.
On that cafeteria plan.
Yes. And so what were some of the places that you guys would eat? Do you recall how campus was back then?
I always ate in the cafeteria or in my room. You know, playing two sports, you didn't have time to do a lot of anything because you were too tired.
Right.
That on top of studying.
So what were your classes like? You're doing two sports. What were your classes like? What were you taking?
You just took your regular classes from 8 to 12. You know, I was a PE major, like probably most of them back then. We really couldn't do a lot of the upper things like medicine or architecture, stuff like that, because of the time factor. They didn't allot for the time differences of taking the classes you needed to take.
Did they have a lot of bring and that kind of stuff back then?
I don't think so. I never had to have tutoring, but I don't remember. It might have been for the football players, but if that's the case, it was somewhere else. I never saw it. Yeah. I think you probably could have got it if you asked for it.
So what were your resources like? So if you were struggling in a class or if you wanted a little extra, what could you do? Did you have to make friends with another student? How did that work out?
Honestly, I didn't have academic trouble. So I know that my roommate would ask the coach for a tutor.
Okay.
But that was, you could ask for a tutor if you needed it.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah, it was kind of easy for me.
So you majored in PE. Mm-hmm. How was your career over time? So what was you played 2 years of volleyball. What made you decide that was enough?
Because I had no social life. I had no time to do anything other than volleyball and basketball. And so, I just told my volleyball coach, which was my assistant basketball coach, that I didn't want to play anymore. Well, it just so happened after those 2 years, my coaches left.
Okay.
They went to University of Houston.
Okay.
And they wanted me to go with them. So I made the trip out to Houston and I said, no, I'm staying. And then they went through two coaches in 2 years. So it was, put it this way, I missed them a lot.
Okay. So did your basketball coaches go too, or was it just volleyball?
Yeah, both of them.
Both of them.
They were each other's assistants. So they both went.
Okay, so who was your second basketball coach?
Avy Bridges.
Okay, so she probably wasn't there too long because I don't even recall that name.
It's very much back here because she was not, things changed quite drastically when she was there. I guess that's the best way to put it. She did. She made it 1 year.
Gotcha. Okay. So, of course, as a basketball player, your freshman class, I mean, the names you named, OJ, Toulouse, yeah. Sharon.
Yeah.
Carrie. Carrie. That was a really good group of players. So
Yeah.
What was it like playing with them?
We were kind of like in sync because we knew what each other was doing. If one of us got in trouble on the floor, we knew where the other one was going to be. And, OJ and Sherry shot from outside and I shot from inside. And, we helped each other a lot. We played in sync, which is probably the best thing you can say, as a team.
And then Tulane was an independent, so...
Yeah.
What was it like, playing other schools? I know we talked a little bit about UNO. What is a memorable moment in some games that you kind of recall from that?
Well, we played in the Metro.
Okay.
And so,
we were in the Metro.
Metro, yeah. We were in the Metro.
Gotcha. Okay.
And I know we went down to Florida State. And we surprised them down there and placed third. And so we were developing. We really were until our coaches left. And then, like I said, we just kind of imploded. But, we played a lot of Louisiana schools, of course.
Yeah.
We played a lot of the smaller schools, but we were winning. And then, we got into our conference games and it was Florida State and Louisville and Cincinnati, and we go to play up at Brigham Young all the time, BYU, and so we had some good games,
yeah.
And we had some winning records, so we were competing.
So, do you have a memorable moment, a memorable shot, a memorable defensive play? What is something that you actually, that stands out to you about your career?
I know that we had a home game against Louisville, and it was in the the conference tournament. It was my junior year, I think. And you know, my longest shot, the buzzer was running out, and I was at the free throw end, and I turned around and hummed it to the other end of the floor.
Wow, three quarters court?
I ain't went three pointers yet.
Three quarters court?
Three quarters of the court. And I turned around, I was walking in the dressing room before I knew I made it. So, and then I think for us to show, you know, like down in Florida in the conference tournament, for us to show the surprise team that we had become. I know I scored 36 points down there, and awesome. they just didn't, they overlooked us so much. And that was a lot of pride to show that we could do that, you know?
That's incredible. Did any of the other players have like a really high scoring game like that?
Not that particular game. OJ had a couple of pretty good games, but we didn't have 30-second clock, you know, and basketball was just different. It was just now really starting to be played the way it's played now.
Three quarters court.
Yeah.
Is super cool.
And I didn't even get to see it.
Did you have any like big block shots? Because I know you were a post player.
You know, I was a post, but I was little. 5'11 was little for a post.
Okay.
You know, I didn't have the block shots that go in the bleachers. I was kind of like a wheeler and dealer inside. I had a right-handed hook and a left-handed hook, and I did a lot of down and unders because the girls that I was that were against me were all taller than me, so I had to kind of wheel and deal and go around them. So, you know, defensively, I think I was probably feisty.
Okay.
I like to rebound, you know, and get in there and knock around people.
Wonderful. So you must be really enjoying the March Madness that's going on out there.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. And how fabulous is it that girls basketball's gotten to where it is right now?
Exactly. It is so awesome.
I have watched all of Caitlin's Clarks. Of course, you know, I want to see what Kim Mulkey's wearing every game. And you know, Dawn Staley, what she's done for basketball. It's just to be playing right now in this era with all these opportunities, you know, what a blessing for these girls. And I hope they know that.
Yeah. You know, yeah. This will help, you know, this will help them understand, you know, how far things have really come. I mean, it's just amazing. And what I really enjoy about it so much is that they really play hard and,
oh my
they're
God.
A really good brand of basketball in this team.
They are. And selling out the gyms. Yeah. You know, they're selling out gyms and they're selling memorabilia. And, you know, for us, the highlight of us was we get a brand new pair of shoes this year.
Right. Exactly. I mean,
and practice clothes. That's was fabulous back then.
Right.
And, you know, it's sometimes you worry things are taken for granted a little bit too much and they don't realize how good they've got it.
Well, they, you know, they have it good. So, you know, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. I always say that if the money is there, then it's a good thing for it to be spent.
Yeah.
On whomever is out there working for it. I mean, it's hard work regardless. You're not going to play and not go to practice. That's right. Not going to happen. You're going to put some time in. So,
well, and the hours that the really good kids spend in the gym when they don't have to be there.
Yes.
And you know, that's what really puts them kids. Over the top. Yeah.
They're the really good kids.
It is. It's pretty fabulous.
So as you went to classes, you said you didn't really struggle. Were you able to meet other students and kind of develop relationships with people outside of the team?
Yeah, but, you know, a lot of the people I associated with were other athletes. You know, football players, volleyball players, because I would see them in the training room. You know, unfortunately, that's not where you want to be, but it's where you're always going to end up.
So did you have any injuries?
Not really. I had, you know, pulled muscle that wouldn't heal. I had to have knee clean out, you know, just little stuff.
Did you miss any games?
I had to sit out a couple games, I think, I had a pulled quad that developed calcium in it because it kept pulling so much. And I sat out a couple games with that, and then a knee clean out. I think I just sat out a couple games with that. So really, I didn't miss much at all.
Great. So you had a fairly healthy career.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. What do you think about all the injuries that they're having now? It seems like people are having these season-ending injuries, serious knee surgeries. Like, do you have any take on the possibilities of things going on with that?
You know, I think the coaches and the trainers are doing such a good job making these kids strong, doing injury prevention, ACL prevention, you know, the programs that Quiet Feet, you know, Land Softly, all that stuff. But I still think that there's a lot of overuse syndrome in these kids because they start playing 12 months a year, you know, junior high and high school, and their bodies never get a rest. And I just, you know, some of them are predispositioned to injury because of the hip, knee alignment, stuff like that. But I just think they need a little more time to rest their bodies. And you know, a lot of it's not on the coaches because any good athlete doesn't want to rest because they want to keep practicing.
You know, to your point that if you're continuing to use the same muscles all the time and not give them a recovery period, that can add the possibility, the probability of an injury. More so than if you rest by doing something different, but still within the realm of athletics, that you're still in shape, but you're just not using those particular muscles as hard.
Right.
As, you know, I think that does happen. I never missed a game.
Well, no. Well, and I'm seeing these, I guess, because I was athletic director for so many years, I'm seeing these kids, like, start their, for example, I say baseball. You know, start playing baseball in elementary school and they're playing 12 months a year and they're not playing any other sport. And then they get, you know, the Tommy John surgery in high school and it takes away their careers. And I know the parents all think that, you know, the more you play, I'm going to get all this money and these big scholarships and stuff. But sometimes a kid needs to be a kid.
We're at Tulane, you know. You had some expectations. So you came in, you had some expectations. How did the things you expected to happen coincide with your actual career at Tulane? How did those correlate?
You know, when I was at Tulane,
were you captain? Did you make captain?
My junior year, my sophomore and junior year.
Great.
And my freshman year, you know, I was having to learn how to score because I was a defensive player. So I was having to learn how to find a way to score and help my team on the offensive end. And then my freshman year, I got offensive player of the year. And so I think that turned me around to gave me some confidence. And, you know, so it was, then I would get in the gym and I would shoot. And then when I left college, I started coaching.
Okay.
And, of course, everything that you learn, every up and down and hard times and victory, you can transfer now to kids.
Yes.
And
good coaches can do that.
Oh, it's a good life. I mean, everything about sports is a life lesson.
Yes.
And so I would never trade my coaching for anything. I loved it. Those girls were my daughters. I had three sons. So all those girls were my daughters.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, you know, you graduated. What was it? So did you go directly into coaching? What did you do when you graduated?
I went and at a middle school in Long Beach. I stayed at my home school for 30 years.
So you, when you finished at Tulane, you left New Orleans. You went back home.
I went right back to where I came from. And I taught math and coached middle school basketball.
Okay.
For a while until I my two oldest boys, I coached middle school as they got through school. And then I started coaching high school in 1999. And I just loved it. I really did. My teams were successful. They played hard for me. The hardest thing in the world for me is to stay on the sideline because, you know, I wanted to get out there and show them stuff and put my hands on everything. But just a totally 100% rewarding, you know, thing for me to do. I taught high school algebra.
Okay.
And then I was an athletic director for 15 years. Awesome. At Long Beach.
Okay. So what type of impact did, you talked a little bit about it, but a little bit more about the type of impact playing sports at Tulane had on you in your career?
I knew that I wanted to coach. I knew that I wanted to give girls the same opportunities that I had. I just felt so appreciative of the opportunity that I had at Tulane. And I wanted to make sure I could get as many girls as I can the opportunity to move to that next level for that.
So how many of your girls, I'm just give me a number, a roundabout number. How many of your girls actually went on to play sports and get scholarships into college?
Probably 10 or 12. One of them had made real good marks at Lamar. She set some records over there. I had one that played at South Alabama. And the others were more smaller schools, but they got to keep playing.
Exactly.
So.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, so, I love it.
So which players from Tulane do you still keep in contact with? And what type of, you know, conversations do you guys have?
I see Megan. Right. Megan Brennan.
Okay.
Megan played volleyball. She played basketball my first year there. And then she played volleyball. She was a good volleyball player. And Megan was my sweetheart. You know, after I left the freshman dorm, we went to the suite. And Megan, Brenda LeBlanc, who's a volleyball player, I think she's coaching in Lafayette. And Megan married Owen Brennan. And they moved to Bay St. Louis. In fact, their son was Brennan that was quarterback at LSU.
Okay.
So, I see her. I see her mainly because I was around football and her son was football. So I would see him at that. But really, that's the only one I keep up with. It's like once we all got out, we scattered.
And exactly.
You know, even coming back for Alumni Day, I don't ever see. I saw Daryl one time at Alumni Day, but mostly it's the newer players that I see.
Yeah, it's like I think one thing about Tulane is that the students come from everywhere.
Yes.
And so just like you went back home, a lot of people will go back home or do traveling. It's not necessarily like it's going to be local and everyone is going to be local as well. So how do you feel about just that network or the ability to develop a network for the female student athlete? So tell me a little bit about your family. So we didn't really talk about that. What was your family like? Did anybody go to college? Were you the first one? You know,
We moved to Mississippi from Tennessee, and I had three sisters. Mom had four girls by the time she was 21.
Okay, and so Mom had four girls, and you had all boys.
I had all boys. I had three boys. Yeah. But we were all, you know, my sisters and I, we were all athletes. Mom would coach us. Dad never missed a game. We played.
What did your parents do?
My dad was a contractor. He builds metal buildings. And my mom worked at a bank. She was a banker. So, you know, they moved to Mississippi to try to make a better living for us, you know, because we were barely scraping by and did very well, You know, they really did. They were so supportive of everything we did. They never missed ball games. You know, if they had to fly somewhere to watch us play, they would. And
so were your parents the only parent? How many other players' parents were at the games when you played?
You know, we didn't have a real big following. And I know that's still sometimes a problem. But
yeah, because a lot of the players are not local.
Are not from here. Yeah.
So many different places.
Yes. And I think that was some of us too. That we had some local players, but not local like you see their parents at every game. Yeah.
So in Long Beach, you're out there. Your athletic director, you're sending kids, you're having an impact on them. When did you start understanding about Title IX and exactly what that was meant?
You know, I think one of the first, when I understood it, as I got older, I understood and appreciated the people that paved the way, you know, Pat Head and some of these people, you know, Summit, Pat Head Summit, some of these people that paved the way for us. My first real dealings with Title IX, when I was athletic director, we didn't have a girls' weight room. We didn't have a girls' softball field that matched the boys' baseball field. And one of the parents wrote a letter to Title IX, and then the Title IX came in and surveyed everything. And so my first year as athletic director, we were under Title IX scrutiny.
Okay.
And buddy, I was able to get some stuff done. We have a first-class girls' weight room. We have a new softball field. We got new batting cages for the softball. I mean, things were changing because Title IX stepped in and said, you will make these changes. And
so prior to, I mean, again, you were on the third team.
Right.
Third year of team. So prior to really 1974, 1975, there was one young lady who was on the tennis team. But other than that, there were no other women receiving scholarships.
No.
So the idea that, you know, now there's a group of volleyball, women on the volleyball team, women on the basketball team that can now actually attend Tulane University that maybe would not have been able to afford it at that time. Mm-hmm. You know, the impact follows.
Right.
Impact follows, you know. So, yeah, that's wonderful that you were able to have that sort of impact outside of the university as well, moving forward.
And they understood it. The kids understood why.
Really understood.
At that point, it made sense to them what Title IX was.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, when you don't know, when they keep it quiet, then you can just kind of go forward and maybe things don't happen.
Right.
You know, if they say you're on a full scholarship, you should be getting your full meals. You should be getting the full, you know, your dorm room paid if you're on a full scholarship.
Yeah.
You know, it should be defined the same way for everybody.
For all of them. And, you know, I don't know if the kids understand that it used to not be that way.
Right.
You know, now it's just something that you strive for, yeah, but it's expected.
Yes. Yeah. That is wonderful that you don't even have to talk about it.
Yeah.
That you just expect that it's going to be the way that it is, and that's just a testament to, you know, you and so many other women that kind of paved the way. Women paved the way for you, and then you paved the way for others, and then it just keeps going.
Right.
Now, you know, again, we talked a little bit about it, but what do you think about the state of athletics the way it is now, today?
You know, I see so many positive, wonderful things going on. one of my good friends was the head coach at Ole Miss, and she and I, Renee Ladner, and she and I talk all the time about the state of athletics and the NIL money. And, you know, we see so many good things, and we see so many things that it's like, where are we headed with this?
Right.
You know? So,
what are some of the things that you two discuss when it comes to the state of athletics? And let's talk about women's athletics first, and then we'll talk about athletics as a whole.
Yeah. I mean, like, even like, you know, with the little gymnasts at LSU and Angel Reese and, you know, Reese and Caitlin and all the money that's coming in. Well, you're giving an 18, 19-year-old kid all this money, and they've got a, but maturity-wise, I don't know if they're ready to accept that and realize it's all centered around your sport. Your sport has got to come first. Not the commitment to these NIL people paying you all this money. You know, you got to succeed. That's why you're getting it. And I can't imagine being a coach.
It's kind of a two-edged sword.
So, it is. It is.
Because it's almost like a childhood actor. So yeah. Let's say the kids from Harry Potter, they're going to make X amount of money because of what they were involved with.
Yeah.
Other kids that don't make that kind of money because, you know, they're not that market, in that market. And I think, you know, as former players, we have a tendency to lay everything on the actual sport, but now it's actually leaning more to sports entertainment.
And as a coach, for me, if I'm looking at these athletes, how do I discipline them and make them conform to the standards they need to conform to be successful, when if you make them mad, they might leave?
Well, I mean, you have to get that. That's recruiting. You have to recruit the kind of kid.
Yes.
That
want to be there.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's got to be some sort of mix in there.
Yeah.
But you have to be prepared. And I think the coaches now have to be prepared for it to go either way.
Because now you're recruiting high school kids and college kids.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's different. It's difficult. I wouldn't want to be in the mix.
It's totally different.
It is.
Yeah. You know, we were of the thought, and I think I talked to Sharon Hill, and one thing that she said was, you know, you always finish what you start.
That's right.
And that's how things were back then. But this is a totally different time. Coaches, it's not easy.
Difficult.
It's not easy.
And they know it. They know it going in. So it's like you said, you got to be sure you recruit your kind of kid. I think Coach Stockton's real good at recruiting her kind of players. They seem to really get along well.
Yes. Yes, she does. I think she's always done a really good job of recruiting. Yeah, so... the other thing I want to kind of spend a little time talking to you about is just kind of the state of, we want to go back to Tulane athletics. One thing that, you know, we're trying to really tap into is developing a network for the student athletes, helping them with resources. What are some thoughts that you have about keeping the student athlete now engaged enough so that they realize that, okay, you've graduated, you have a Tulane degree, these are some of the next steps that you can take. What is some of the advice that you would give to that student athlete?
Well, I think that they have, don't they have a mentorship program already going on with the basketball?
They do have some mentorships.
And I think that if each athlete is matched with a mentor in the field that they want to study, they want to pursue, I think that would really help. And, you know, if you have this directory, there might be athletes in there that they could be matched up with. I think that would be a great idea. Have your everyday mentor get through school. And then you can have your career mentors for after school.
Now, they do have these programs at Tulane, invested in the Tulane Alumni Association. They have a lot of programs that's available for career development, helping student athletes out. But in my experience, the student athlete has been so isolated in their sport that they don't really get involved in the university offerings. So what was that like with you?
That's very true. You get so immersed in your sport and in your family of the sport, you know, the kids that play the game with you, and you do things together with them. But a lot of us didn't branch out into the general population of the school and do a lot of the things that the school offered for us to do. I know for me, the fact that I, you know, only lived an hour away and I had little sisters that were still playing sports, I would try to get home to watch them. I do believe that as athletes, you stay secluded in your sport and your athletic family a lot, and you don't do the things college has to offer.
So did you ever make it to the rat scale or the boot?
The boot? Yeah, the boot.
The boot.
But not very much. But yeah, I would go to the boot, and I like the quad on football game days.
Okay. Did y'all have like the band on the quad on football?
Yes. Yes, that was fabulous. I love the quad on game days.
Yes, that was like, it was a happening spot.
That was it.
Things were going on.
Yes, it was. But here again, you would go with your sweet mates or your team.
Right.
So you were still secluded going to that.
Right.
But I used to love to get my sisters over at Tulane because, you know, we might only be an hour away, but it was a whole different world stepping into New Orleans. So my dad and my sisters enjoyed New Orleans quite a bit after some of my ball games.
Excellent. And what about you in the city? What were some of your favorite places to go?
You know, I loved going back there behind Audubon Park and on the river and sit back there.
The river?
I loved to go back there. Of course, you know, my gullible little self, I had a new Smokey and the Bandit Trans Am, and I'd take those T-tops off and go riding through the quarter a lot. So I loved the city. I really did. A couple of the girls were from Metairie, so I would go home with them and just hang around.
Just some questions, quick Q&A that you can just answer.
Okay.
First thing that kind of comes to your mind. So what's something on your bucket list?
Bucket list right now?
Yeah.
I want to go on an African safari. I want to go to the Antarctic and see the whales. I want to travel.
All right. Have you traveled a lot?
I have not traveled a lot. I have three grandkids.
Okay.
So take care of them some, taking care of my mom. So I'm kind of sticking close to home, or two of the grandkids live up by Chattanooga, but right now it's all family that I do with that.
Awesome. What was the best concert you attended?
The best what?
The best concert you attended.
Elton John.
Elton John? Okay.
He was.
Was that in New Orleans?
You know, it's in Biloxi.
In Biloxi, okay.
But he was fab. I never thought he would be as good as he was.
No, he's great in concert. I saw him at Jazz Festival.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah, definitely. What was a TV show you watched in college?
General Hospital.
Okay.
We would schedule our classes around it.
And what's one of the TV shows you binge watch now?
I have a lot of TV shows I binge watch because everything can be recorded now, so you don't miss anything. I like the medical shows and I like a wide variety of things.
Okay. What makes you laugh the most?
Watching my grandkids. I was up keeping my grandson last week, and I brought him to T-ball practice, and he's 3 years old, and he's playing shortstop by standing on his head and looking under his legs, and you know, he's just hilarious. He makes me laugh all the time.
What is your go-to guilty pleasure?
Ice cream.
Oh, yes.
I love me some ice cream. And going to the spa.
We have to get our spa time in.
Yeah, get our me time.
What are some things that your teachers used to say about you on your report card?
Good student.
Okay. You rather bike or hike?
Hike. I love going hiking in the mountains.
Do you say you have book smarts or street smarts?
Book smarts.
You like to score or defend?
Score.
Do you like to work or work out?
Work out.
Do you rather sing karaoke or go to a movie?
Go to a movie? You don't want to hear me sing.
Do you prefer board games or video games?
Board games.
A beach vacation or a ski vacation?
Beach.
Reading or writing?
Reading.
You prefer to plan or be spontaneous?
Be spontaneous.
Would you rather go back in time and meet your ancestors or go forward in time and meet your descendants?
Forward in time.
Well, good. This has been fun.
I've had fun too.
Are there any things you want to, you know, put out there, maybe say, you know, anything you were thinking about that maybe we didn't cover?
You know, probably not on the topic of Tulane. I said I had three sons.
Okay.
They were all college athletes. They all three got scholarships. Two of them played football at Southern Miss, Mickey and Robbie. Mickey was quarterback, and Robbie was a center. So I had to learn to wear gold. And then my youngest, Anthony, played college golf. So, you know, they got to reap the benefits of hard work and dedication to their sport and playing, you know, college athletics too.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I was blessed.
Family. That's awesome. And I'm always excited to see you at the alumni events.
Yeah.
Anything else that we have, but it's just been a real pleasure today.
Well, thank you. And if you ever need me for anything, just call me. I'm only an hour away and I'm retired.
Okay,